My name is Alexis Naylor, and I am your host here at Through the Creative Door. On behalf of myself and my guests, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians on which this podcast is recorded and produced. We pay our respects to all First Nations people and acknowledge elders past and present. On this podcast, I will be chatting to an array of creative guests, getting a glimpse into their worlds and having some honest and inspiring conversations along the way. Welcome to Through the Creative Door.
Hello, Mark Turner.
Hello, Alexis Naylor.
How are you doing?
I'm lovely. It's a busy time, but here we are.
Bush, bush, bush. Well, thank you for coming and chatting to me through the creative door.
The door is wide open.
The door is wide open.
Indeed.
For those who don't know you, you are a very talented bear, does lots of things, very multi-instrumentalist and doing recording things and singing things and tooty-tooty on the saxophonies.
Jack of all trades.
Yes. Yes,
that's well, that's the aim. That's the aim. Yes. I do the things that I enjoy.
You do.
And try to do it's it helps my ADHD brain. It's self-diagnosed ADHD.
So considering that you do so many different creative outlets, It's probably a hard question to ask, but what does a creative space mean to you?
Well, great question, and it's ever evolving, Alexis. Creative space, I mean, it's like a space can be a hotel room or a toilet or a car, or in some cases your van. When I've been in it, long drives when you're just by yourself and you're left with complete creative freedom. But also those spaces change. Like one of the biggest things I always wanted was a creative space, and then I got it and I used it a lot, and then, you know, circumstances change, and then the neighbor next door was in my creative space workshop, the neighbor next door started living there, so I couldn't be creative. Like, when I was creative, I felt very exposed. So for me, creative spaces are vulnerable spaces where I feel safe to explore and try ideas and see where the world takes me.
Yeah, so that's obviously changed and evolved over time.
Yeah, it's fully evolved, and it's just a lovely thing to be able to have one. And also to be able to, especially as a traveling musician and a traveling, I love travel. So to be able to create a creative space or be somewhere and find that rhythm is cool. I really enjoy that. I feel very fortunate to have that ability to, you know, set up and be creative where I need to be.
It's interesting because I think, well, maybe I'm projecting, but a lot of us would strive to have a studio or a creative space in that sense.
Yeah.
And then when you get it, perhaps, like you said, you definitely use it quite a lot, but then like you take it for granted almost.
Absolutely. I mean, it's funny because I've had, so the space we're questioning is it kind of fell about by accident. I was looking for somewhere to harness my creativity. And it's the kind of thing, when I found it, I was like, I've found the gold mine. And
it is
the gold mine. And it was when those circumstances changed, maybe 4 years into having it, where there was, you know, the neighbor situation, it changed the silver lining for me. But then I've kept it because it's still, I know that the gold is there. So I feel extremely lucky to have that space and a space that I can call mine to create in. I think if anyone can find a way to make a space that is theirs, it's one of the most joyous things. But I had an experience recently, and I believe they may be on your podcast. You might have to edit this out, but has Dane been on your podcast?
No.
Dane, re-edit, cut, paste. No. So Dane borrowed...
Are you telling me that I should have him on the podcast?
Oh, yes? He's a brilliant brain. Yeah. So Dane was in there recording recently, and he came and he dropped the key back to me, and he's like, mate, that place is magic. And it reinvigorated me, because a space is only as magical as it feels for you. So to see him experience that same magic that I felt without any of the emotions being shifted because of past experience, I was just like, that is awesome. And I love that he felt that. And it reminded me of the magic that a place or a venue or a situation can feel.
Yeah.
But it's okay to let things change and for that to shift.
You're like, oh, I want to go back in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to experience the thing.
Absolutely. It was that kind of, wow, this is actually a vibe. So I was like, cool. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah.
I'm curious. I mean, you have been involved in so many ensembles. You have released lots of different music with different people.
Mm.
You've done lots of different projects. You've also been a videographer. Like, you have been involved in so many things creative.
Jack Hammer of all jacks.
But I guess it's a hard question to ask. Is there something that you're most proud of, or is there a body of work? I know that seems like
that's a great question,
right?
Is there something that I'm proud of? I'm constantly proud of everything that I've created. So like I see things and I'm like, oh, I'm proud of that. I look back and reminisce and I'm super proud of the journey.
Whether it be music or
all of it. Yeah. I mean, the thing that came to my mind recently was a Christmas album I did with Steve Hensby. And so Christmas is around the corner. I was like, oh yeah, I made a Christmas album once. And I listened to the song. I was like, God, it was just such a beautiful time and memory. And then Sam Timmerman, who is our dear friend, reshared a story of when we all lived together and we did some amazing things in COVID. And it's like, wow, I'm so proud of what we achieved there. Jesse Gordon and myself just released an album and I'm super proud of that. And it's just little things that I'm like, along the journey, you've just got to kind of like, it's moments like pat yourself on the back and go, that was great. You did good. Keep going. It's okay.
And I don't know about you, but I find it's hard to do that sometimes. Mm. And it actually is a real conscious effort once you've finished a project, released it, put it out to the world. Well, this is how I feel anyway, to actually take a minute and be like, actually, yeah, I did a thing.
Yeah, because you're so caught up in...
Because you're caught on to the next thing, moving on to the next thing.
Mm-hmm. And that is hard because you just, especially for my brain, I'm here, there and everywhere. So to stop and take stock is a challenge. But I'm just stoked that I get to, I guess at the core of it is like, how cool is it that we can create stuff in our lives and share them with others?
Yeah.
So that to me is, I'm super, I guess at the core of it, I'm proud to have a body of life that I get to share with others who also enjoy it. So,
true.
You know, it's not just, I guess it's hard to pinpoint any one thing. It's all of the bits.
All of the bits in all of the things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On the flip side of something proud, do you think that there's something that's challenged your creativity? And if so, what was the major lesson?
Something that challenged my creativity. The first thing that comes to my brain is remembering COVID as an entity and then coming back out of COVID, because you and I, Alexis, had a very different COVID to most people. Where most people went quite inside and quiet and found their own space and did what they did, we turned our house into essentially a nightclub / music venue, which I'm incredibly proud of. But it was the kind of thing where it became this creative mega space and nothing was off limits. So that to me was the first time I was like, whoa, I haven't felt freedom like this in years. So it was this really, like, I didn't have to be, and I guess in a lot of ways, I don't have to be accountable. I'm accountable for every decision I make. But in that moment, I was in control of every decision that I was making for me and us musically. And then when the world switched back on, in Perth specifically, it was so intense with the amount of work we had, the amount of, like, we just had to get back on with it because that's what I was programmed to do. And it was a really challenging mindset to go, but you had the best time of your life in this window of creativity.
Mm.
And you've now put, you were in neutral. The engine was going, everything was cool. And then in COVID, we switched the engine off and relaxed. And now not only is the engine on, we're like on sixth gear.
Full speed
ahead. We're on the Kwinana Freeway, pelting down to somewhere. Who knows? But
wait, surely there's a fastest
Yeah, maybe Brand Highway. Who knows? Yeah, Quinana Freeway is definitely not the right analogy, but you know what I mean. Great Southern Road or something, caning it down the freeway. And it's like, whoa, that was hard because I was like, oh, I am burning myself at every candle. Mm. I basically got 6 candles, which I also do enjoy, but it is...
It's a fine line.
It's a lot.
It's a fine line.
It's a lot. So I was just like, whoa, this is crazy, crazy. Mm. So I don't know. That to me was challenging and it's still a challenge to consider what that looks like.
What do you think the major lesson is there though? Like how do you...
Well, I'm not learning from that. I need to be... I'm not listening to my own heart, but I guess the lesson is to allow space for creativity. Mm. And it's something that I've tried to do with Jesse in terms of our writing and our time. We create time to be creative.
Yeah.
And just booking in me time, which is so hard to do. It's so hard to dedicate time for you, for yourself. So as I sit here preaching about something that I don't do, I'm going to analyze that and think more about my life choices. But ultimately, it's a balance, right? It's all just a balance. Yeah. And I love everything that I get to do. So I love the work that I get to do. It's so varied and exciting. But there is also the challenge is finding the balance to be me and produce my own me to the world that they can see.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, it, exactly what I said.
Yeah.
There's me in everything that I'm currently doing, but there's also the other me that wants to maybe create and do more freedom-based things that we had in that period.
Mm. You definitely get, I don't want to say pigeonholed, but like, it's easy when we're already in those lanes to then just keep going down those paths without reimagining. It takes a lot of effort to reimagine something, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's also, I mean, we've got to earn money at the end of the day. Yeah. You've got to exist and that to me is the core of it. Like, okay, we've got to just do that. But then also we've got to make space for all these things.
Yeah, to let the creativity out.
Mm.
Let it out.
Let it be free.
Is there any object or possession that you can't live without when you're creating? Like something sentimental or something like super...
Oh, yeah. They're all tools.
Yeah.
Everything... Yeah. I mean, my saxophone's pretty sentimental, but even if someone told me they melted it down into a cupcake or something, or like a teacup, I'd be like, oh, that's really weird. Why would you do that? And then I'd just go and find another saxophone.
That was my saxophone, but okay.
Yeah, why'd you do that?
Why'd you do that?
I love my acoustic and electric guitar, but, you know, they're wood. I'm very attached to them, and they're mine, but at the end of the day, it's a tool that helps me create and be. I reckon I'd be lost without my friendships. I think that is the things that you can't, they're probably the most important things.
Okay.
You know, like the things that if I lost those, I'd be pretty sad. But for me, everything, I mean, you know, data is, make sure you back up your content in 3 places, otherwise it doesn't exist. That, you know, but then if you've got it 3 places, it does exist. So it's fine. But data, you know, like memories, content, that those are the things that once you've created something,
making sure you've got it everywhere.
Make sure you don't lose it. But yeah, there's nothing that springs to, like if the house was burning right now and I had to grab something, I mean, I'd grab my laptop because it's got all the data on it. The laptop is just a tool. I'd probably grab my saxophone and my acoustic and my electric guitar, my memory box. Oh God, these are the order.
You need a container to take all the things before the fire.
Well, I bought fireproof boxes, so you know, everything is, hopefully nothing, touch wood, no pun intended about the wood, but yeah, I mean, I love my vinyl collection. That would be really hard to replace. There's a lot there and it's come from all over the world. So, but yeah, nothing that, I'm just trying to think what's in there. No, it's all just stuff.
Yeah.
But I love stuff.
But you can create.
You can start again.
You can create.
I mean, I had a moment the other day. My friend who I'm teaching, I gave a few lessons to on the saxophone, and her name's Fernanda, and she's moved down south. and she's just starting her musical journey, and I had a spare keyboard piano controller. I was like, this, you should take this.
Mm.
And she's like, Mark, my world has exploded. Everything has changed. And it's like one thing that I didn't even use anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've got pianos everywhere. And for her, it's like changed her life. And it's just one little thing. It's like,
yeah.
You know, they're just tools to help you get to unlock doors.
No, I'd agree with that.
Also, maybe this piano accordion, I got that when I was a kid. I'd be pretty sad if I lost that.
Where did it... As in, someone gifted it to you?
Well, no, I purchased it.
As a child?
It was one of my first instruments that I was learning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I would...
How old were you?
Oh, 10, 11.
Oh, and that was what you chose at 10?
Well, I chose the piano. I wanted to be a rock and roll piano. but I was pretty bad at it. I was pretty shit
at
piano. But the guy who taught me also learned piano accordion. So we... yeah, that was, I had to get, and my grandfather played piano accordion, so I started on his, and then we found this one, and then, you know, hit 12 and found the saxophone, and then put the piano accordion back in its case. But I've ended up using it a few times recently in recordings, and, you know, weird, I played at a Billy Joel tribute band.
Oh, what?
And used that, so that was weird. But
sounds vibe.
Yeah, it is vibe, but, you know, sentimentality is, yeah, that's a great question. I like it. I take my friends with me. If the house is burning, you and me go to the pub.
Okay, good.
After we put the
fire out.
Fire out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll try it at least.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. If you could give one piece of advice, one nugget of gold to another creative, what would it be?
Oh, God, there's so many. Mum always said everything in moderation.
Did she?
That's not advice. No, the first thing that pops into my head is it's fine. It doesn't, there's like, whatever happens will happen. And whatever the journey is, it's going to be fine. Mm. And I think I get so caught up worrying. I remember when I was 30, I was like, I'm done. My time's over. I was 35. I'm like, I'm done. I'm 35. Who cares? No one's going to care. And I'm like, what happens? My hair goes gray and I lose all, who cares? It doesn't matter. Like, everyone's going to be with you on the journey, and no one goes to experience art to have a bad time. Everyone always goes out to have a good time. Mm. So, like, take the pressure off yourself and it will work out. And it's
so true.
It's so hard to, and I mean, this is, I'm internalizing my feedback saying it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter. If you do, you know, we start a project, you don't finish it. It doesn't matter. It's okay.
It's also okay to pick it back up.
Yeah, and
years
do it
later.
Later.
Or...
It's so internally hard to. There's just so much pressure in this world, and my favorite thing is when I meet someone and I can just tell that their steam valve is off.
Mm.
There's no more steam. They're just relaxed. I'm like, oh, that looks like a nice time. Where's my steam valve? Maybe it's in my butthole.
How do I turn it off?
How do I release all this steam? But that's also part of what makes me me. So I wouldn't change that part of it. But I think it's just relaxing in the journey. And it's like, you can get caught up on so many parts of this life.
Mm.
And it's like, the journey is the part that is the best bit, the adventure. And just, it doesn't matter. Just keep going, keep enjoying, keep doing whatever it is. And if it doesn't work, it's fine.
Yeah. Try something else.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like, whatever you've done and whatever you've created, it's amazing.
Mm.
Even if it's just your mum that likes it, that's fine. My mum does like it.
I was just about to say, how great are mums? My mum always likes it too.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're very, very lucky.
We are very lucky to do what we do.
Mm. Absolutely.
Would you have any advice on, like, resources or books or, I don't know, podcasts or, I don't know, any references that if someone wanted to, I don't know, do what you do?
Yeah. Well, if you do want to do what I do.
Do.
Well, I mean, I'm an interesting case study in that I struggle with certain kinds of education. I've taught myself most of the things I know. But you know, the biggest lesson that I've ever learned is by watching others and being around people who are very good at what we do. I'll never forget being in a room. I'd only just started learning. I learned guitar when I was 14. And I think when I joined Adam Hall's band, I was 21. And he asked me, he invited me to go on tour with a guy called Big J McNeely, who is no longer with us, but he was this killer honking sax. He was like the definition of honking sax. Like, he was this old cat. He had his first hit in 1949, and Adam brought him over to tour Australia. And we're sitting in the hotel room. I've just met Big J for the first time. He's sitting on the bed with his saxophone that's cut, painted fluoro orange.
Oh my
and I'm
gosh.
Like, who is this dude? And he puts the sax to his mouth and he honks a note louder than if the heavens opened up and a saxophone appeared and started playing. It was louder than that. And all of us in the room, except Adam, who'd heard him before, were like, whoa, holy shitballs. Like, this guy played so loud and it was so clear and so much passion in one note. I was like, oh my, we are serious. And so we started playing and I was playing guitar and this Big J just knew what he wanted. He's like, to the dominant, go to the dominant, man. I was like, what is a dominant? I wouldn't know a dominant if it slapped me in the face. And I was like, I don't know. And Adam's like, just go to the sea. Like he was helping me. I was like, I don't know what this means. And so we're playing and Big J was just saying things and Adam was helping me. It was amazing. But it was one of those moments like, you got to learn fast. You got to get your butt into gear. And it was one of those moments like, I learned more in a 40-minute rehearsal than I did in the last 6 years of playing guitar. Wow. The 6 years had led to that moment.
For sure. It had the foundations. It was
in that moment that my ass got handed to me. And it was in that moment, and there are vivid moments of my life. I remember recording my first ever, I was playing drums, recording, and Kieran Kenderesi, I was 17, I was playing with an ensemble. We were making a Christmas album. I don't know why I keep making Christmas albums. But I was 17, I remember Kieran setting up the mics on my drum kit, and he's an incredible engineer here in Perth, and he put these mics in place, and I was watching him, and I was like, why did you do that? And he was so kind, he told me all this information, and I went out, it was the next 5 years, I bought every single mic that he put on that drum kit, I learned every single thing that he did, and it changed my life. I remember going to watch Trevor Jeller, the first time I saw someone play guitar live. It was Howie Morgan and Trevor Jeller, and these guys are so cool. I remember being underage, going to the Universal Bar and just being like, oh my God, that's what I want to do. You know, it's those moments of like deep connection, watching, sucking every piece of knowledge from that experience and then learning how, like almost reverse engineering
it. Just geeking out.
Yeah, and now we're so lucky to have YouTube and you can watch the people you admire on the internet now, like that. And it's like, you can learn this stuff. But getting hands-on with the people that inspire you or that you learn from is, I think, hands down. It happened to me the other week. James Newhouse recorded our Jesse and I's new duo album, and we wanted to have him mix it. So I went down and sat with him, and it was just like 6 hours of hang. But I think I learned more in 6 hours than I have in 2 years. Same with saxophone. I've been playing sax my whole life. I don't know what I'm doing. I had lessons as a kid. I had one lesson with Matt Stiles, who's one of the lead lecturers at UWA, I think, or Whopper. And we sat and we had 1 hour lesson, and he kind of was like, just play a scale. And he was like, okay, like I see what you're doing, but have you tried doing this? And he said one thing that just changed everything. And I was like, I'm going to have to go away for a year and understand what you just said. Mm-hmm. And it took me a year to work on it. And it was like, it's like little moments like that. All it takes is a little,
pivot. Not,
yeah, 180 degrees, flip it upside down and look at it in a different way. And you're like, holy shit, that changed my life. Mm. And for those playing along at home, it was just, you know, open your, like drop your larynx, drop everything and allow the air to just go power through. I was like, whoa, that explains, that's why I can't play a saxophone. Now I can, thanks Matt Stiles. You know, little things like that. You're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Blows your brain. You're like, oh, I never thought of that.
Love it. One last question.
Okay.
If you could hear anyone answer these questions beyond the podcast, who would it be?
I mean, the people that I really look up to, like James Newhouse is a great example. He's such an interesting fellow and so inspiring. I'd love to hear his thoughts on these questions. Yeah, people that I look up to is find all them and ask them all these questions because then I can learn more.
Big list.
Yeah.
My goodness, Mark Turner.
Alexis.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Being here and coming through the creative door.
I enjoyed being in the door on my own house. The creative space of love. Arigato gozaimasu. It's been an absolute joy. Bye.
Bye.